Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The 79th annual Raleigh Christmas Parade is just over a month away. Coming up, how the father of the 11-year-old girl who was killed at last year's Christmas parade is speaking out and calling for more safety measures.
A winter pattern headed our way. We have a system that's going to push some moisture our way for tonight into early tomorrow morning. And then a second system will bring rain for parts of the weekend. I'll walk you through the timeline on Futurecasts for both.
New developments overnight from the war in Israel, with the power supply expected to be cut off any minute in Gaza City. This is a live look right now. Daytime, it'll be hard to tell when that power gets cut, but you see the smoke rising right there as our country is now sending aid to Israel. Plenty to get to as we get our Wednesday started here together, 8 o'clock. So glad you're with us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, we're going to start with the weather because it's a beautiful start to our Wednesday. Yeah. We've seen a gorgeous sunrise this morning. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking some rain that we could see tonight, overnight, maybe.
We've been watching the system down in the Gulf of Mexico for the last couple of days. The Hurricane Center said, maybe this is going to become a tropical system. And they're saying, it's probably not. But it is pushing some moisture northward. Some heavy rain with us across Georgia and Florida over the next 24 hours. But for us, we're going to be on the north edge of it, and our amounts will be much lighter. We're starting to see some cloud cover pushing up from the south right now. Those clouds will continue to thicken up through the afternoon. By the evening commute, there could be a little bit of light rain, but our atmosphere is very dry right now. So this first round during the evening commute could evaporate before it reaches the ground. Now by 8-9 o'clock, we might start to see more of that reaching the ground, but the amounts will still be fairly light, and we may see very little rain at all around Roxborough, South Hill, up near the Virginia line from this whole system. We could see some light showers from Durham to Rocky Mount southward during the morning commute. And then after that, this slides out quickly. We'll see sunshine by noon, which is good news for fairgoers as the fair opens in Raleigh at noon. We take a live look at Franklinton. We're seeing a mix of sun and clouds here. A pretty view there. 55 degrees is our temperature around the Triangle area. So it's a pleasantly cool start. A little chilly in Roxborough at 46, but most of us are looking at mid to upper 50s right now. We'll climb to 74 for the high this afternoon with increasing clouds and a few light showers this evening. Some scattered rain overnight and into early tomorrow. We have another round of rain that will affect us on Saturday. I'll show you the timeline for that front coming up. Eric?
Elizabeth, taking a look at traffic out there right now. The biggest issue for you this morning as you're on your way in, that is going to be congestion. Taking a live look, this is I-440 at Capitol Boulevard. You can see folks stacked up there in the westbound lanes. And one potential issue we want to tell you about, this is going to be Wade Avenue at the 440 interchange. You can see there's a good bit of traffic around there, and that is likely because there is a new traffic pattern there this week. WRAL's Brett Nese, he was driving through there a little bit earlier. He said that's got a lot of folks confused. Some folks having to take some last-minute detours and U-turns, so you'll want to pay close attention if you're headed in this way. Otherwise, we're looking pretty good across the Raleigh area, just a couple of extra minutes. Notably, coming in from Wake Forest, that's going to be 11 minutes. We'll keep a close eye on things here, bring you updates as things change.
The father of Haley Brooks, this 11-year-old who was killed during Raleigh's Christmas parade last year, is speaking out. He's calling out the mayor after the event was nearly canceled this year. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us now with what he said at city council. What message was her father trying to get across here? Kelsey?
Jeff, good morning. Haley's dad says he was hurt and offended by how all of this played out. And it's quiet here this morning on Fayetteville Street, but in just over a month, this street will be packed and full of people as the city's 79th annual Christmas parade will be happening, even though it was almost canceled. Last year, 11-year-old Haley Brooks was killed after she was struck by an out-of-control pickup truck when she was in the parade. Her dad, Trey Brooks, spoke to city leaders last night, calling out Mayor Marianne Baldwin for initially canceling this year's parade. The mayor said they were canceling the event out of respect for Haley and her family, but Brooks claims the city didn't contact the family about their decision.
And instead of doing what it takes to keep the children of this community safe, you simply denied the permit and canceled the parade. And then you tried to point to my family as a cause of the cancellation, which could not be further from the truth.
And Brooks is also calling for more safety measures to ensure that something like this won't happen again. And after the meeting, the mayor said that she was sorry for his loss and thanked him for having the courage to speak. She says that golf carts and horses will be allowed now that the parade is back on for November 18th, but cars and floats will still be prohibited. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
One person is in the hospital after a head-on collision that shut down multiple lanes of I-540 for more than an hour overnight. Brent Neese drove the WRL Breaking News Tracker to that scene.
This head-on crash happened between Lumley Road and Aviation Parkway on the westbound side of I-540. Take a look at all the damage to one of the cars involved in this crash. This is new video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Please tell me somebody was driving the wrong way on I-540 West when this crash happened just after 3 this morning. The driver of the car traveling the right way had to go to the hospital, but is expected to recover. Police say alcohol is likely a factor, but they are working to confirm that. They say this is still an ongoing investigation. Tow trucks showed up just before 4:30 this morning to remove these cars and reopen all westbound lanes of 540. In Raleigh, Brent Neese, WRL News.
A fire at an apartment complex in Fayetteville has knocked several people out of their homes. Firefighters were called to the Summit Apartments on North Street around 11:30 last night. When they got there, they found a two-story apartment building on fire with flames shooting out of the top of the roof. They were able to get the residents out of that building. No one was injured. The American Red Cross will be helping those who lost their homes in that fire.
And now to the war in Israel. Overnight, Israeli warplanes hit neighborhoods in Gaza as retaliation for the weekend attacks by Hamas militants. This is a live look there in Gaza right now. The UN says more than 263,000 people in Gaza have been displaced, and power supply there will be cut off very soon. American Airlines is suspending all flights to Israel through December 4th. The death toll on both sides has soared to over 2,200, with at least 14 Americans among the dead. More than 2,600 have been injured.
Last night, the first plane carrying U.S. weapons landed in Israel. This comes after President Joe Biden said during a speech yesterday he intends to ask Congress to approve more funding for the country. He promised his administration would not allow Israel to run out of ammunition.
Today, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will travel to Israel to meet with leaders there. The State Department says that Blinken will share a message of support and solidarity and will listen to Israeli leaders about the ongoing battle. The department also says Blinken will discuss measures to improve Israel's security.
The race for Durham mayor is down to two people for next month's general election. Current city council member Leonardo Williams and current state senator Mike Woodard will square off November 7th. With 98% of the precincts reporting, Williams got 51% of the votes and Woodard received 29%. Williams or Woodard will replace outgoing Mayor Elaine O'Neill, who announced in June she would not be running again for re-election. Last night, we went to both of their watch parties and talked with them about their plans and what they'd be to deal with issues that people of Durham say are important to them.
We got to make sure that we're leading a culture that is embracing of all of the resources we have available. Our kids have to be so involved, so engaged, or working that they're too bored to get in trouble. And my goal is to, you know, be the drum major of this culture change, this course correction.
We've got to make sure that our police department's fully staffed. We have 106 vacancies in our police department now.
12 people are on the ballot for 3 at-large seats as well, and 6 of them will move on. The current front runners, starting with the most votes, Nate Baker, Javier Caballero, Carl Rist, Kalila Kareem, Sheila Ann Huggins, and Monique Holsey-Hyman.
In Fayetteville, people cast their votes to who will be on the ballot for mayor. WRL called the race before 11 o'clock last night. Incumbent Mitch Colvin took more than 60% of the vote. He and Freddie De La Cruz will move on to the general election. And House Republicans are set to vote today to choose the next speaker. There is a proposed rule change that would ensure a candidate has enough support to take the gavel before a floor vote. And that is after it took 15 rounds to elect previous speaker Kevin McCarthy. Two men are vying for the speaker job as a government shutdown nears. Representative Jim Jordan proposes a long-term funding bill with spending cuts, while House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says he wants to get Senate Democrats to negotiate. It is unclear if either candidate has enough support to get elected.
It is here. Hockey fans, get ready. The Carolina Hurricanes will sound the siren tonight at PNC Arena, holding their home and season opener tonight, facing off against the Ottawa Senators. It'll be a marathon fight. You know, it's a long season for the Stanley Cup, and the team will lean heavily on Coach Rod Brind'Amour after the fifth straight trip to the playoffs ended in defeat in the Eastern Conference Finals. You can look for live team coverage from us on WREL before and after the game. The puck drops at 7 p.m.
Well, it's Wednesday, and that means Powerball. Tonight, the second largest jackpot in the game's history is up for grabs. As of right now, it is more than $1.72 billion. No one has been able to match all the numbers for more than 11 weeks now. If you get lucky, you could take home nearly $760 million. Tune in tonight to watch the live drawing on WREL.
10 after 8 right now to Wednesday, and new developments in the case of the father who prompted an Amber Alert. We'll hear the child mother's side of the story and what she says about the father's history.
Plus, new changes coming to RDU. Why the CEO says the new project will be the most important 2 miles of pavement in the Triangle.
And we're looking at the potential for some rain this evening into early tomorrow morning. Another chance over the weekend. I'll show you how to plan around both of those systems.
.14 is the time right now. This is a live look. Chapel Hill right now. And the Franklin Street intersection right there. Top of the hill as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Seems we want it both ways, you know. We had a nice week and all, but we do need some of the rain that's on the way as well, Elizabeth.
We do want it both ways, don't we? It's so true, especially over the weekend. You know, it's going to be, you know, a pretty dry week for us. And then, you know, here comes the weekend. We have some rain in the forecast, but we do need some. Goldsboro seeing mostly sunny skies, a little bit of high thin cloud cover. Same thing here in Apex and Chapel Hill. Good bit of sunshine there in Fayetteville. Chapel Hill's courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Looking good out there. We have a system that's developing in the Gulf. We've been talking about it for the last couple of days. If you happen to be watching the late evening newscast, Mike said that, yeah, the Hurricane Center has kind of dropped this in terms of a system that they're watching to become tropical. But still, there's going to be a lot of heavy rain for parts of Georgia and Florida. We're not going to see the heavy rain because we're going to be just on the north edge of this system. We will see increasing clouds. You can see that as we get through the day. We'll pause it right here at 5 o'clock, and you can see some waves of rain trying to work their way up around the triangle. This first round is going to be really light and may not even reach the ground because our air mass is so dry right now. We'll continue to see that pushing northward, though. So by 8 or 9 o'clock, we may have some patchy light rain. You might run into some of that if you're leaving the Hurricanes game. I know a lot of folks excited about that game. And then tomorrow morning, same thing. Some patchy light rain from the Triangle area southward, maybe enough to run the windshield wipers. But it is likely to move out by the time the gates of the State Fair open officially for this year's fair at noon tomorrow. The rest of the afternoon looks good. We have another system, actually two of them. One comes in late Friday night, and then the cold front in the afternoon on Saturday. Still looking at a chance for showers. This doesn't look like it's going to be terribly heavy, but it will be for a good chunk of the day on Saturday. This is our Gulf low developing and pushing in. Again, you can see a good bit of heavy rain for parts of Florida, Georgia, even South Carolina, but we're just on the northern fringes of it. It slips off the coast of the southeast, and we should see a fairly dry day Friday. We do have that little system that moves in late on Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then followed by the cold front. So that does bring us a chance of rain for a good chunk of the day on Saturday. Once that moves out, we'll see clearing skies, but we may cloud up briefly on Sunday afternoon, but it does look dry. So 50% chance for early tomorrow, but it would be light rain late Friday. And then again, Saturday afternoon, we have that chance for some scattered showers. First 3 days of the fair look like this. That rain's going to move out. We'll see sunshine for tomorrow starting at noon, 77 in the afternoon. Friday during the daylight hours, it's going to be fine. We do have some rain late in the forecast, but it's likely after the fair closes. And then on Saturday, some rain on and off, especially in the afternoon. New tropical storm Sean in the 5 a.m. advisory, moving northwest at 13 with 40 mile per hour winds. It's just way out here in the Atlantic off the coast of Africa, dissipating by early Monday without affecting land. So that's definitely some good news. Saturday, we're going to continue to watch that. I know that the timing of that rain will be important to a lot of folks. So as we get more information, we'll share that with you, Eric.
Elizabeth, taking a look at traffic here at 8:17 a.m. Congestion going to be the biggest issue for folks out there on the roads. Take a live look now. This is going to be out there at I-540 US 401 Lewisburg Road. Things are moving a little bit smoother than they were just a couple of minutes ago, but still, if you're headed that way, 540 westbound, you're going to want to add a couple extra minutes to your drive time. Another live look right now. This is going to be I-440, the Beltline, right at New Bern Avenue. Again, some traffic there as well. So, of course, we are still in that rush hour time. So take it slow. Be safe out there on the roads this morning.
We have new developments that are coming out now. More than 24 hours after police say a father prompted a statewide Amber Alert. You maybe heard it on your phone. This morning, the child's mother is sharing her side of what happened after the father was arrested for taking that girl. Her four-year-old daughter, Paisley, was abducted by her father, Mitchell Grayson, from a Durham apartment on Saturday. Police say he also assaulted an adult in the process of doing that. WRO Sarah Kruger spoke with Candace Oldham, the mom, who says Grayson has a history of violence and hopes he can one day be in their daughter's life, but not until he gets help.
I want people to understand that if that's not the way you go about getting your child in the first place, there's a certain way to do it, and it's not choosing violence or hurting people.
Grayson made his first court appearance yesterday. He was given a $25,000 bond. Paisley was found safe and is back at home this morning.
New this morning, U.S. Representative George Santos is now being accused of identity theft. These new charges add to his already long legal battle. A newly filed indictment accuses Santos of stealing the identities of campaign donors and then using their credit cards to ring up tens of thousands of dollars in purchases. The 23-count indictment replaces the one filed against the New York Republican in May. That one charged Santos with embezzling money from his campaign, lying to Congress about his wealth, and other offenses.
Happening today, ECU Hillel is holding a prayer vigil for Israel amid the ongoing war. Students, faculty, and the community plan to come together to show support and pray for peace and healing. This event is hosted by the school's Jewish organization. It's happening in the Ladonia Wright Cultural Center.
Three officials in the Nashville community are either suspended or under investigation by the FBI. The town's police chief, J.T. Winstead, and the HR director, Matt Joyner, have been suspended with pay since September 27th. Joyner tells WREL he made an allegation against the police chief, and now he's being retaliated against. Chief Winstead did not respond to our request for comment. And separately, we learned that a third person is being investigated by the FBI. Nash County Magistrate Jason Barnes is accused of assaulting a woman in early September. The FBI also has not responded to our request for comment.
A Franklin County man is accused of embezzling more than $4,000 from a youth sports league. Deputies say Jamie Murray was the ringleader of a long-standing scheme to defraud the Bunn Youth Sports League. The most recent federal tax records show Murray as the owner of the nonprofit group. The clerk's office tells WREL he's facing two felony embezzlement charges.
We are one day away from the start of the North Carolina State Fair, and today the final preparations are going to be focused on food. The Wake County Environmental and Health Safety Division will be at the fairgrounds to inspect food vendors. There are some new foods to check out this year, including a jerk barbecue chicken mac bowl, brisket and waffles on a stick, and strawberry cheesecake slush. You can see the full list on WREL.com. The State Fair begins tomorrow and runs through October 22nd. Jeff, you're going to be there on Friday. What are you eating first?
I can't wait to get there. And it's something off that list. It's so hard to decide. I don't know. Just up the road there's some pretty big changes taking off at RDU International. This is a live look right here on the right side of your screen outside the airport terminal 2 this morning. The FAA has given the green light now for the airport to begin construction on replacing its primary runway. RDU's president and CEO says it'll be the most important 2 miles of pavement in the triangle. The change will make the runway longer. It will be built about 500 feet from the current one, so they will be able to continue operation all during construction. The move will also make room for the future of more gates at Terminal 2. The project is expected to cost about $500 million and will be completed by 2028. And today's the second and final day for TSA's recruiting event. If you're interested in working at RDU as a TSA agent, they're looking to hire ahead of the busy holiday schedule. TSA has both full-time and part-time positions available. You can stop by the Doubletree at Research Triangle Park from 9 a.m. until 3 in the afternoon.
Well, there's an urgent push for blood donations this morning. The American Red Cross says its supply has reached critically low levels. It's now asking high schools and colleges to bring back blood drives to help combat the shortage. The Red Cross says donations have dropped nearly 25% since August. Months of weather crisis have caused many blood drives to be canceled, and a busy travel season also has strained the supply.
Texas Rangers completed an American League Division Series sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. A 7-1 win sealed it last night. So that means the Rangers are moving on to the American League Championship Series for the first time in a dozen years. The Rangers will now wait to see if they'll play Houston or Minnesota for Game 1 of the Championship Series on Sunday.
People who live in and visit Fayetteville are invited to do their part in keeping the city clean. Volunteers can now register for the Fall Fayetteville Beautiful event that's happening November 11th. Hundreds participated in previous events, picking up litter along public streets and at local parks. To sign up, go to FayettevilleBeautiful.com. Well, coming up, the search for the remains of the Titan submersible is now over. What the U.S. Coast Guard says it found in the remaining wreckage.
And it's an exciting day for Caniacs today, as we've been telling you, from the players to the new food. We have what you should be on the lookout for this season as the Canes hit the ice tonight.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Wednesday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. A nice start to your Wednesday. Might need the light jacket heading out the door. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by. Temperatures warming up to the 60s already.
Yeah, look at that. Looking nice. 57 in Wilson, 55 in Durham, and right there on the edge of 60 in Fayetteville. We're seeing a mix of sun and clouds as you're heading out the door. We will see the clouds thicken up as we head through the afternoon, and there'll be some light showers overnight tonight and early tomorrow morning. Could be a few sprinkles this evening, too. 59 in Fayetteville, 54 Tarboro, 58 in Goldsboro, 57 Rocky Mount. We do have that chance of rain. It's going to be a very small chance during the evening commute, and overnight just a 30% chance. Really from the Triangle area southward is where we'd see the best chance for rain. Shouldn't get in the way of your exercise during the day today. Temperatures will be in the mid-70s. It will be mainly cloudy this afternoon. Eric?
Elizabeth, taking a look at your traffic out there right now. We've got a couple of crashes we're keeping our eyes on, but the biggest issue, that's going to be that congestion, particularly on 540 this morning. This is right at the Lewisburg Road intersection. You can see things are moving right now, but it's looked like a parking lot out there for a good chunk of the day. Taking a look at your drive times coming into Raleigh overall. Things looking pretty good. The biggest issue is going to be if you're coming in from Wake Forest or Knightdale, seeing delays of 8 and 6 minutes there. So maybe take it a little bit slow, plan on some extra drive time coming in that way.
Thanks, Eric. The father of the girl who was killed during Raleigh's Christmas parade last year is speaking out. Haley Brooks's father called out Raleigh's mayor last night for initially canceling the parade, claiming it was out of respect for his family. He said he and his wife never wanted that parade canceled. Next on Fox 50, Elizabeth Gardner will be back to tell us when and where we could see some rain in the area. And next on Today, Grammy winner Lauren Daigle performs her latest single.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The 79th annual Raleigh Christmas Parade is just over a month away. Just ahead, how the father of an 11-year-old girl who was killed at last year's parade is speaking out and calling for more safety measures.
Two systems I'm watching. One's going to push some Gulf moisture our way late today into early tomorrow. And a second one brings a cold front through on Saturday. I'll go over the timeline for the rain for each one.
PNC Arena will be jam-packed tonight as Caniacs fill the seats inside for the Hurricanes home opener game. Just ahead, I'll explain everything you need to know before the puck drops tonight.
8:30 the time right now. Certainly that is part of the excitement that is getting our Wednesday revved up. Enjoy it. It's almost like they have two home openers because tonight, and then they go on the road out west for six straight games and then come back again. So we're going to double dip that. I'm Jeff Hogan, and certainly glad to have you with us.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, finally getting into that fall season, you know, bringing out the jackets. Hockey is back. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is standing by. I think we might need to break out the umbrellas later on tonight.
Let's take a look at what's happening on the big picture. We have some tropical moisture that's streaming up into the southern parts of the country right along the Gulf Coast right now. That was a system that the National Hurricane Center last night said it does not look like it's going to become tropical, but there still could easily be some heavy rain across Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. We're going to be on the north end of this system, so we'll walk through future cast. Gradually, we'll see clouds increasing as we head through the afternoon. And around the evening commute time, 5 o'clock, there could be some scattered showers. Keep in mind that we have a dry air mass in place, so this first wave may actually evaporate before it reaches the ground. But we'll continue to see waves of rain moving through overnight. And around 9 or 10 o'clock, if you're coming out of the PNC Arena from the Hurricanes game, there may be some sprinkles or some patchy light rain. We'll likely see some of that in the morning as well. This is 8 a.m. After that, gradually it pulls away, and we should see some sunshine just in time for the opening of the state fair tomorrow at noon. Here's a live look at Franklinton. You can see some of those high, thin clouds. 55 degrees is our current temperature, so just a touch warmer than yesterday. It's 59 in Fayetteville, 53 in Southern Pines, 57 for Rocky Mount, Wilson, and Goldsboro. Hour by hour, highs will be in the mid-70s this afternoon, but we will cloud up, and we have the potential for some patchy light rain this evening, overnight, and then again early tomorrow morning. We have a new tropical storm that developed in the 5 a.m. advisory, moving northwest at 13 miles per hour. It's going to wander around here in the Atlantic and fizzle before it has any impact on land. We're going to be watching another system that helps to bring us a chance of some rain on Saturday. It's a cold front. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
This morning, strong words from the father of the girl who was killed during Raleigh's Christmas parade last year. He's calling out the mayor for initially canceling the parade, claiming it was out of respect for his family. As WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains, Haley's father, Trey Brooks, made it clear he and his wife never wanted the parade canceled and says no one from the city even asked if that's what they wanted.
Haley's dad says he was hurt and offended by how all of this played out. And it's quiet right now on Fayetteville Street, but in just over a month, the street will be packed for the city's 79th annual Christmas parade that was almost canceled. Last year, 11-year-old Haley Brooks was killed after she was struck by a pickup truck when she was in the parade. Her dad, Trey Brooks, spoke to city leaders last night, calling out Mayor Marianne Baldwin for initially canceling this year's parade. The mayor said they were canceling the event out of respect for Haley and her family, but Brooks claims the city didn't contact the family about their decision.
Since you did not reach out, I'm here to tell you what would honor Haley, and that would be to immediately enact comprehensive safety measures as well as procedures to make sure that they're being adhered to ensure the parade can be held safely.
After the meeting ended, the mayor said she was sorry for his loss and thanked him for his courage to speak. She says golf carts and horses will be allowed at this year's parade now that it's back on for November 18th, but cars and floats will still be prohibited. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
One person is in the hospital after a head-on collision shut down several lanes on I-540 for more than an hour overnight. Brett Neese drove the WRL Breaking News Tracker to that scene.
This head-on crash happened between Lumley Road and Aviation Parkway on the westbound side of I-540. Take a look at all the damage to one of the cars involved in this crash. This is new video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Please tell me somebody was driving the wrong way on I-540 West when this crash happened just after 3 this morning. The driver of the car traveling the right way had to go to the hospital, but is expected to recover. Police say alcohol is likely a factor, but they are working to confirm that. They say this is still an ongoing investigation. Tow trucks showed up just before 4:30 this morning to remove these cars and reopen all westbound lanes of 540. In Raleigh, Brittany, WRL News.
Several people are out of their homes this morning after a fire at an apartment complex in Fayetteville. It happened at the Summit Apartments on North Street around 11:30 last night. When firefighters arrived, they found a two-story apartment building on fire with flames coming out of the roof. Everyone was able to get out of the building safely. The Red Cross is helping those who lost their homes.
Now to the war in Israel. Overnight, Israeli warplanes hit neighborhoods in Gaza as retaliation for the weekend attacks by Hamas militants. Now, this is a live look in Gaza right now. The UN says more than 263,000 people in Gaza have been displaced, and the sole power supply to that city has now been cut off, run out of fuel. It is shut down. American Airlines is suspending all flights to Israel through December 4th. The death toll on both sides has soared to over 2,200, with at least 14 Americans counted among the dead. More than 2,600 have been injured.
And today, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will travel to Israel to meet with leaders there. The State Department says Blinken will share a message of support and solidarity and will listen to Israeli leaders about the ongoing battle. The department also says Blinken will discuss measures to improve Israel's security.
And just within the last 30 minutes, we've learned Pope Francis is calling on Hamas to release all hostages it captured during its unprecedented attacks on Israel. During today's general audience in St. Peter's Square, the Pope acknowledged Israel's right to defend itself. He expressed concern for the total siege facing Palestinians in Gaza. He also pleaded for the attacks to stop, saying, quote, "War is a defeat. Every war is always a defeat."
Thanks, Renee. House Republicans are set to vote today to choose the next speaker. There's a proposed rule change that would ensure a candidate has enough support to take the gavel before a floor vote. That's after it took 15 rounds to elect previous Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Two men are going for the speaker job right now as the government shutdown nears. Representative Jim Jordan proposes a long-term funding bill with spending cuts, while House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says he wants to get Senate Democrats to negotiate. It's unclear if either candidate has enough support to get elected.
It's a big day for Caniacs today. Get out your red, black, and white because the hurricanes are hitting the ice tonight. WREL's Laura Levine explains all you need to look for during the team's season opener tonight at PNC Arena.
The Carolina Hurricanes are back. They will face off the Ottawa Senators here at PNC Arena tonight. We're going to see those Caniacs walk through these doors ready for the big game. Last year's run ended in the Eastern Conference Final against Florida, so there is a lot of excitement for the start of the season tonight with all eyes on the Stanley Cup. Hurricanes reached the playoffs for the fifth consecutive year, with the last three coming as a division champion. Taking a look at players to watch, Andrei Shvechnikov will begin the season on injured reserve as he continues to work his way back from the ACL injury he suffered in March. And Jordan Martinook made his way to Raleigh at the beginning of this current playoff run for the Carolina Hurricanes. His first season, the Canes were swept by the Bruins when they weren't even expected to be there. Now at the beginning of this season, the Canes are favored to finish the season as Stanley Cup champions by Caesars Sportsbooks at 15-2. Martinook says he is thrilled to start the journey to the Cup because of the Caniacs.
They show up every night, I feel like now, and home opener, playoffs, it feels like it's always a little extra. So they're going to be out in full force tomorrow, and love to see them, love to hear them. It sucks. Every the start of the year, we get a taste of it for one game, and then they ship us on the road. But then when they're excited for us to come back.
And fans are excited to see them back here tonight. The puck drops at 7 o'clock, and don't worry, tickets are still available. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
Keep an eye out for our team coverage on WREL before and after the game. Puck drops at 7. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll tell you about some of the new food and beverage options available at PNC Arena.
Coming up, climate change could impact one of your favorite beverages. Why a new study predicts warmer weather could change how beer tastes and even create a shortage.
Plus, new developments in the case of the accused killer, Jacob Neely, on the New York subway. Why Daniel Penny's attorney wants that case dismissed now.
And you're taking a live look over Clinton this morning. Beautiful skies. Elizabeth will tell us when and where we could see some showers later on.
It is 8:43, and we're taking a look at the big picture. Look at all this rain coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico up here toward Louisiana and Texas. There's a low that's been developing there for the last couple of days. The Hurricane Center at one point said it might develop into a tropical system, but they've dropped that now. It's still going to produce some heavy rain across the southeast, including Florida, Georgia, even parts of South Carolina. But it's going to swing off the coast and just brush us with some rain. We're going to see increasing cloud cover for the next several hours. We do have the potential for some light patchy rain from the Triangle area southward, starting as early as 5 p.m. But we have a fairly dry air mass, so there's a pretty good chance that a lot of, if not all of this, will evaporate before it reaches the ground. We'll continue to see waves of rain moving through, though. So by the time we get to 8 or 9 o'clock, we'll likely be seeing some patchy light rain that's reaching the ground from Raleigh southward. That continues overnight. We'll pause it right there at about 8 a.m. It's likely to be just a little wet with some light rain as we get into the first part of the morning commute. And then that's gradually going to shift eastward, and we should see some sunshine by noon, at least in Raleigh, where they're going to open the gates for the state fair there at noon. So it looks like that system moves right on out. Now, if you're headed to the Hurricanes home opener this evening, most likely if you were hoping to tailgate between 5 and 6 o'clock, likely it will be dry. There could be just a few sprinkles out there. Coming out of the game, there'll be a better chance that you'll have some light rain coming out of the PNC Arena. Temperatures will be in the low 60s at that point. Fair forecast, so looking good for Thursday. We'll see increasing sunshine and highs in the upper 70s should be dry Thursday. Taking a look at Friday, though, late Friday night and into Saturday, we have a chance for some scattered showers. 55 as you're stepping out the door right now. This is a live look at Warrenton. Just a little bit of high, thin cloud cover. Warrenton, you're not likely to see very much rain out of the system in the next 24 hours. We will see high temperatures climbing into the mid-70s, looking at 74 in Raleigh, 73 Durham, and 77 in Fayetteville for today. Our normal high is 75, so we'll be at or just a little above that through Saturday, and then we're going to see our temperatures take a big dive. These mild temperatures with us there in brown stick with us through Saturday. And then on Sunday, that chilly air dives in, and we're going to see that potential all the way into the following week. Starting Sunday through the next Saturday, we have a good chance of below normal temperatures. So it's going to be a little on the chilly side. And the tropics, this is really the newest and really the only thing that's happening. Moving northwest at 13 miles per hour, we have Tropical Storm Sean that developed in the 5 a.m. advisory. It's out here off the coast of Africa. It swings a little bit to the north and then becomes a tropical depression and fizzles out way before it reaches the Leeward Islands or any land. So that doesn't look like one that anybody will have to worry about. Saturday, you want to be able to plan around that. We get into the high resolution models for Saturday by tomorrow. We'll be able to time that out a little bit better, but it does look like some showers late Friday night and then again Saturday afternoon. Right now, Sunday looks dry, but a chance of some showers again for some of next week.
We have the newest snapshot of the U.S. economy. Just minutes ago, the September Producer Price Index report just came out, giving us a look at inflation from the producer level. Labor Department says it went up 0.5% for the month. So inflation still a problem for the U.S. economy. It is a slightly bigger increase than what economists expected. They thought maybe it would go up 0.3%. The PPI report has always captured the attention of the Fed. Fed will not raise interest rates this month, but they leave open the possibility of raising interest rates again by the end of the year.
All right, thanks, Renee. The town of Cary is mourning the death of former Mayor Coca Booth. Booth served the town for decades and saw Cary boom from a sleepy suburb to one of North Carolina's most populous towns. Cary's signature Coca Booth Amphitheater is named after him. Booth was 91 years old.
Governor Roy Cooper filed a lawsuit against Republican state lawmakers, a suit that focuses on a new law that takes away the governor's power to appoint people to dozens of state boards and commissions. Cooper says it's a, quote, blatantly unconstitutional legislative power grab. Cooper vetoed the bill, and lawmakers overrode the veto yesterday, making it law. State legislative leaders have not issued any comments since the lawsuit was filed. That bill was one of five vetoes that lawmakers voted to override. At least three lawsuits have been filed since then. One filed by voters' rights activists claims the bill that made multiple changes to election laws will suppress votes.
Attorneys for the man accused of killing a homeless man on a New York subway is asking a judge to dismiss the case. In May, Daniel Penny held Jordan Neely in a chokehold after Neely started shouting at passengers on the subway. Neely died soon after. A medical examiner ruled his death a homicide. In a motion filed on Friday, Penny's attorney cited witnesses who were on the subway, and one witness described the incident as absolutely traumatizing. In June, a grand jury indicted Penny on charges of manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide.
The U.S. Coast Guard says it has recovered the final remains of the Ocean Gate Titan submersible. The submersible imploded back in June in the North Atlantic. It was headed to the Titanic wreckage when it imploded, killing all five passengers. The agency says it has also recovered presumed human remains. All the evidence will be analyzed, and then the agency will hold a joint review with the National Transportation Safety Board.
A new lawsuit alleges Costco shared customer information with Meta without asking for permission. The lawsuit claims that Costco violated state and federal law by giving Meta access to customers' personal information and pharmacy patients' personal health information. The lawsuit claims that Costco uses Meta's analytical tool called MetaPixel on its website, which can track user activity. The lawsuit blames the tool for handing over the information. Costco has not commented on the lawsuit. Orange County school leaders are asking for the community's input in the process of finding their next superintendent. People can weigh in with a new survey on the Orange County Schools website. Another survey will be available for staff. Those surveys must be completed by October 23rd, and the results will be presented at the board's November 6th meeting. The school board also hired a group to help in the superintendent search.
When you make it to PNC Arena for a Canes game this season, you will notice some new food items on the menu. PNC is not messing around, clearly, serving up three new local options: the Barbecue Lab, Gonza Tacos and Tequila, and the Optimist Coffee House. They are ready to help fuel you for every game. There are now more than 12 food and drink options. And look at that, the candy jar right there, a self-serve candy station is also in the works. Climate change could be brewing up a shortage of beer and making it taste a bit different. A new study says warmer and drier weather could impact the beer supply. The study in Nature Communications says harvests of hops could drop as much as 18% in Europe by the year 2050. The remaining hops may lack materials that give beer the flavor it now has. Now, keep in mind, early ripening leads to higher acidity in beer. The study also found hops harvest declined by 19% since 1995.
Our teacher of the week says her job is to make sure her students know the sky is the limit. WREL's Brian Schrader heads to Tarboro to meet an educator whose third graders are making big gains.
Open your box and show me 3 times 5 as a group and as an array.
Elizabeth Abrams grew up in Edgecombe County, and she always knew she wanted to be in education. After finishing her degree at Barton College, Abrams is now celebrating 10 years at Stocks Elementary School in Tarboro, and she loves it here.
That is very good. That's exactly what I was looking for. A lot of times in our low-income schools, it's hard to get teachers to come here because people think it's harder to work here. We don't have that much money. Who can tell me what 7 times 4 is?
But thanks in part to the hard work of teachers like Abrams, Stock students are performing better.
I got it right.
We have all worked very hard for many years now, so it is good that others are seeing the hard work that we've been putting in. I love it. You use groups.
Abrams says she wants to open her third graders' eyes.
And I want to make sure that the kids that are coming out of my classroom are capable of doing, knowing that there's so much more than Tarboro, North Carolina, and they can go anywhere in this world.
What?
Yes, congratulations. How about a round of applause for Mrs. Abrams?
Elizabeth Abrams is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Surprise. And if you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WREL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Vanna White says she has the perfect replacement in mind when her day comes to step aside. Her contract was just extended for another 2 years, but she says co-host Pat Sajak's daughter, Maggie, would be great for the job. In an interview, White said, "She's been around it her whole life, so I think she can fill in for me for sure." While White added, Pat Sajak's charm has certainly rubbed off on the 28-year-old. In June, Sajak announced he would be leaving the show after four decades, 41 seasons. He'll be replaced by Ryan Seacrest. Well, check this out. A Missouri man is looking to squash a world record. Steve Keeney paddling in a giant homegrown pumpkin. He went 38 and a half miles down the Missouri River in this thing. Yeah, just waiting for the paperwork to come in to make the record official. The pumpkin weighed nearly 1,300 pounds. Apparently, they float, right? Previous record was held by a Nebraska man who paddled 37 and a half miles, came up just short. His pumpkin only weighed 846 pounds.
I'm sure his arms are tired. Wow. Here are your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.